Beginning as a mechanic's helper in 1921, the young immigrant from Sicily worked hard and saved his money to go into business for himself. His first venture was as a taxicab driver. He then went into the limousine business, followed by the egg business, grocery business, and restaurant business. Along the way, he met Florence, and they married. His wife was not fond of cold weather, so Anthony sold his businesses and began researching tomato farming. As a young boy, he had loved gardening and was trained by an old master gardener. While researching tomato farming in the New York City Library, he noticed that someone had left a book on the table where he was reading. The book was about Jesus Christ. He knew little about Jesus other than Mary was his mother, so he picked up the book and began to read. Intrigued, he decided to read the Bible. Growing up Catholic, he had had very little exposure to the Bible. This was his first time to read the Bible himself. He read for days, and he began to understand that God was a personal God who cared about him and wanted to guide and direct his life, and that Jesus Christ, his Son, came to earth and died for his sins. He accepted Jesus as his Savior. For the first time in his life, Anthony sensed the power and presence of God. From then on, he determined to seek God in everything he did. After a year in Virginia, Florence and Anthony moved to Florida to farm. Anthony prayed for $5,000 profit for the first year, and it happened. He recognized, however, the rigors and risk of commercial farming, specifically labor and weather challenges. So he began praying about other business opportunities. A friend told him about the Floridian, a local cafeteria in Bradenton, Florida, that was for sale. The owner had another cafeteria in New York, and he wanted to focus on that cafeteria. Anthony visited the cafeteria and spoke with the owner. Soon they struck a deal, and Anthony left tomato farming to own and operate a cafeteria. The cafeteria business presented new challenges. Anthony made improvements to the facility and then thoroughly evaluated the menu. He needed a dependable person to run the kitchen, so he contacted his brother Joe to solicit his help. The quality of the food was very important to Anthony. Good was never enough. He always sought to improve and to achieve excellence. Fresh ingredients for the menu was a priority. His customers validated the quality of the value proposition of the cafeteria. It soon became very popular. On Sundays, the line of patrons frequently extended out the door and down the street. Anthony was an entrepreneur. After he conquered a challenge, he looked for the next. In the summer of 1944, he heard that the Terrace Restaurant in Miami, the largest restaurant south of Washington, D.C., was for lease. Soon he made a deal, a 10-year lease. He and his wife moved to Miami and took on the new challenge. For 5 months, Anthony worked arduously but could not get the restaurant to financially break even, much less show a profit. As 1944 drew to a close, he was running out of capital. He sold the Floridian and virtually all of his assets in a desperate attempt to make the Terrace work. On December 28th, he had only a few thousand dollars left. In a few days, he would need more than $20,000 for payroll and other expenses. He saw no hope going forward. So he asked himself an appropriate question. How did I get in this predicament? Anthony pondered what had happened and realized a difference in this venture. In the past, he had always been true to his convictions, but this time he had compromised. He had a personal conviction that he was not to serve alcoholic beverages. However, his friends told him that the restaurant would not work unless he did. Capitulating to their advice, he agreed to serve alcohol. Deep down, he knew that the Lord was not pleased and became convinced that his compromise had doomed the venture. Interestingly, Anthony had a view of Christianity that is somewhat uncommon today. He viewed Christianity as permeating everything he did in life, and his work was no different. Every morning, Anthony began his day in prayer and Bible study, seeking the Lord's will for his life, marriage, and business. He viewed the Bible as a handbook for life, including work. His love for the Lord overflowed into study and teaching of the Bible. His encounter with God in the New York City Library left him with a profound sense of God's personal presence. Anthony routinely sought the Lord's guidance on business conundrums. He continually asked himself if what he was doing was honoring God. Today, most Christians view work largely as a necessary evil. They believe that God does not really value work in the physical realm. Most believe that the purpose of work is mainly to make money to earn a living and to support good Christian causes. At best, Christianity in the workplace is about evangelism and ethics, or at least that's what most seem. There's little sense of divine dignity and purpose in work outside of vocational Christian callings. In a recent meeting, I became vividly aware of this view and of work by American Christians. There were 30 to 40 people in the room from a variety of churches in the area. Approximately 20 different churches were represented. The topic of discussion was Christianity in the workplace. A question was posed regarding how many churches provide workplace training from a biblical perspective. Much to my chagrin, there was only one church that was doing anything to train people in a biblical theology of work. This experience illustrates the low view of work held by American Christianity today, and is in stark contrast to Anthony's view. Anthony viewed work as a divine activity, a way to worship and honor God by working with people to provide excellent products that would be a blessing to others. Work was much more than evangelism and ethics. It was a place to encounter God, to hear God, to obey God. It was a place of personal sanctification as God used workplace situations to reveal and eradicate sin in Anthony's life. Such revelation drove Anthony to his knees in repentance in December of 1944 as he faced the consequences of compromise. He knew that whatever is not of faith is sin. When he bought the Terrace restaurant, he was convicted that he should not serve alcohol, but he listened to his friends and compromised his convictions. Now he knew the Lord was dealing with him sternly and that he could not blame anyone else. Anthony was not given to blame casting. He was a man of deep conviction. He knew that he alone made the decision to violate his own convictions. So what was he to do now? Deep down, he knew that there was only one thing to do, repent. So he got on his knees and earnestly repented. Anthony's situation pictures the truth that physical reality is simply a manifestation of spiritual reality. In other words, the root of physical existence is spiritual. Anthony's problem was not a money problem. It was the spiritual reality of compromise. Money was simply the vehicle in the physical world that manifested the existence of the spiritual problem. That night, after his time of repentance before God, he went to work as usual. Mr. E.M. Lowe of Lowe's Theaters came in and asked to visit with Anthony. He suggested to Anthony that he change the theme of the restaurant as a marketing tactic. While they were talking in Anthony's office, the phone rang. It was a realtor inquiring if the restaurant was for sale. In just a few days, Anthony sold his restaurant to Lou Walters, father of Barbara Walters. His financial crisis was averted, but more importantly, Anthony learned a powerful lesson. Never compromise your principles. He also learned that God is gracious to us and responds to genuine repentance, many times with supernatural circumstances. He experienced the reality of the sin, judgment, repentance, restoration cycle that he discovered in his study of Scripture. After making the deal with Lou Walters, he realized that God had been very gracious to financially restore him. He shared the lessons that he had learned with his wife. The worship of money, which is idolatry, had lured him into disobedience. He knew that God hated idolatry and that he deserved the judgment of God for his idolatry. But he repented, and God graciously delivered him from the judgment. He determined to never compromise his principles again. Now, Anthony was a consummate entrepreneur. He did not let much time pass before he was working on his next venture, fruit baskets. Partnering with Florence's niece and nephew who lived in Miami, he began to sell the finest citrus fruit available. His target market was the Northeast United States. 2 years into the business, Anthony realized that he could save money by buying the fruit from the farmers instead of the local grocery stores. Leaving his partner in Miami to handle sales and marketing, he went to Bradenton and bought produce directly from the farmers. He cut the cost from $2.50 per box to 50 cents, which enabled him to cut his sales price from $5.50 to $3.50. Business boomed. Dealing with farmers, however, had a price. He could not select the fruit that he wanted. He had to buy it in bulk. After selecting the best for his fruit boxes, he still had good produce that he needed to sell. Because of his experience in New York, he knew that the upscale restaurants and hotels valued fresh citrus fruit for juices, salads, and desserts. So he began to develop a plan. He could prepare the juice and fruit wedges in Florida and transport them in trucks packed with ice. The produce would be fresh when it arrived in New York. Drawing on old relationships and contacts, he launched his new business venture as Fruit Industries Incorporated. Soon he discovered that the business concept was more than a good idea. It was more than a ripe idea. The timing was perfect. Business exploded, and the fresh fruit business exceeded the gift box business. After a few years, the gift box business was discontinued so that Anthony could focus on the fruit business. Sales and profits grew exponentially from 1947 to 1963. Then in 1963, Anthony faced another challenge, the failure of the citrus crop. Unexpected cold weather in the winter of 1963 wiped out the Florida citrus crop, the lifeblood of Fruit Industries, Inc. The company went into a crisis mode. Some of the executives supported the idea of using concentrate to make fruit juices, but Anthony remembered his experience from the Terrace restaurant and refused to compromise. Fruit Industries, Inc. was committed to delivering fresh citrus products. There would be no compromise. Anthony's creative mind went to work evaluating options. He settled on citrus fruit from Mexico, but to produce the freshest product, he had to process the fruit on site. Acquiring a seagoing barge, he built a production facility on the barge, towed it to Mexico, and set up business. Fresh citrus was processed on the barge and refrigerated for shipment by sea to customers in the Northeast. It worked. The citrus arrived in New York fresh. Anthony's creative and ingenious idea saved the company and maintained the highest quality value proposition that had become the standard of Fruit Industries Incorporated. Anthony Rossi operated his citrus business for 31 years. Along the way, the name was changed to Tropicana, and the company became the biggest, most successful citrus business in history. There can be little doubt that Anthony's unrelenting and uncompromising commitment to God was a key to the company's success. Anthony's philosophy, values, and principles shaped and guided the company. In 1980, he gave the commencement address at the University of Tampa, which offered insight into the philosophy, values, and principles that shaped Anthony's life and the Tropicana Company. Number one, have a clear purpose or goal. Number two, never compromise. Number three, be strong, don't be discouraged. Number four, never be satisfied, always seek to improve. Number five, use your common sense. Number six, don't look back, keep looking forward. Number seven, take care of those who work with you and for you. Work with them to solve problems. Number eight, be honest. Number nine, it is not how much knowledge we acquire, but the wisdom to use the knowledge that counts. Number 10, above all else, listen to God. Have faith in God. Let God guide you. Discover how God is moving and move with Him. After selling Tropicana to Beatrice Foods in 1978, Anthony entered into a new phase of life. Having long been interested in missions, he was led to bless retired missionaries, and so he established and funded Aurora Ministries. The ministry built the Bradenton Missionary Village and partnered with a trusted relative, engaging in providing audio recordings of the Bible for the blind. Anthony was active until his death in 1993, his faith guiding and shaping every aspect of his life. He was a man who lived what he believed. Among many important lessons, he learned to never compromise his convictions. His life and business truly glorified God and are worthy of esteem and honor by all who call upon the name of Christ as Lord and Savior. There is little doubt that when Anthony entered into the Lord's presence, that he heard these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant."